car.
I'm not stepping out of the car. No, you cannot. You cannot pull me out of the car. Yo, why are you pulling a gun on me? Why are you pulling a gun on me? Why are you pulling a gun on me? Why are you pulling a gun? Why are you pulling a gun on me? Why are you?
Stop reaching for.
Why? Hey! Hey! I am not. I did nothing wrong. Why are you pulling a gun on me?
That again, the audio component of the video that was recorded within that car by the individual who was being stopped by a Delaware State trooper. So here we go again. And let's go live to Bethany Beach right now. Attorney at law Stephen Norman of the Norman Law Firm has been involved in lawsuits against Delaware State Police. And Stephen, just from your role as an observer, having processed this like all of us, what's your initial reaction?
Good morning, Alan. Initially, it's hard to say because you don't know what happened before the actual interaction. You really need to know why the individual was pulled over. And I don't think there's not perfection here. You know, every time a firearm is pulled, you know, you question whether some other tool could have been used, a taser, you know, something that doesn't have the potential for deadly force. But you have to look at it from an officer's perspective. And that's the first thing I did here. He's by himself. You've got an individual that's acting volatile and not complying with, you know, what we have to believe was a lawful order. You know, unless the officer didn't have probable cause, you have to believe the officer had a right to pull this individual over. If he didn't have that right, that hasn't been revealed yet. I don't think it was perfection on the officer's part, but as a civil rights attorney, it's not an act that I would bring a lawsuit on, plain and simple. You know, the individual does not have clean hands. You know,
you're supposed to follow an order from an officer.
Well, you're supposed to follow an order from an officer or ask, officer, why am I being pulled over? In a calm voice. Officer, why am I being pulled over? When you tell an officer no in today's day and age, I mean, we know that, you know, officers have committed acts, you know, it's been all over the news, but you also have officers that have been shot doing their job. And they're on edge right now. That's, you know, it works both ways. And an officer's on high alert, and when an individual raises their voice, tells them no, acts volatile, reaches for something in their vehicle, I mean, the officer has a right to use the tools necessary to control the situation. Now, if he had used the deadly force, I mean, we're talking about something else. But I don't see the officer acting in an actionable way. You know, you look at it threefold, whether it's a criminal act on the part of the officer, I absolutely do not see that. Whether there's a civil action that can be filed, I wouldn't bring this case. And then thirdly, you look as if whether the officer is following his training, you know, whether he's violated any standard operating procedures. And that's really for the state police to do an investigation and determine, and I'm sure they'll do that. But from my standpoint, and I know what their standard operating procedures say, I don't believe it prevents them from using a tool to control a situation.
How relevant is it if it were a traffic stop, let's say, just for exceeding the speed limit, but not excessively so, going through yellow that became a red versus exceedingly high speed, some other egregious traffic violation, or then some kind of an outstanding warrant? How does that change materially this picture, if it does at all?
Well, I think if it was a high-speed chase, the officer would have already had his gun drawn. You know, we know the officer does not draw his gun until the individual doesn't comply.
Correct.
And he just didn't say no. He raised his voice. He raised his voice, so the officer, you know, became, you know, on high alert. And like I said, I don't believe it was a picture of perfection on the officer's part, but we're not talking about perfection here. These are stressful situations nowadays, and the officer's, you know, his main goal is to come home. Come home and, you know, not die. And I think that's the bottom line here, is he was doing what he felt he needed to do to control what appeared to be a volatile situation. And you also hear in here that, you know, the individual may have been reaching for something after the video went down. And,
yeah.
You know, as soon as he starts reaching for something, when his voice is raised and he's not complying, I mean, I think that completely justifies, you know, pulling a firearm at that point.
What about the idea that more and more motorists are running video? But then, as you rightly note, we see the termination of the video. So I assume the video, for whatever reason, was stopped by this individual, or, you know, so we don't have further video.
Right. You don't know what happened. You assume he came out of the car and he finally complied. And like I said, the officer could have pulled his taser. You know, perhaps he could have done something different, but you don't second guess officers in a stressful situation. At least I don't. Now, if he had used his firearm, you know, he could have done it better. He could have come up and said, "Sir, I'm pulling you over for X." So, like I said, the officer, you know, may have slid off his training to a certain degree, but it's not a case that I would bring. Not a civil rights case, and obviously no criminal charges should be filed here. And I would think if there's an investigation, that would be a minor reprimand. You know, like a censor, maybe the officer would you know, miss a day of work or something. But I do not see this as a serious issue on the officer's part. You know, if you look at the spectrum of different violations that an officer can commit.
Well, let's turn it around here. We assume the motorist was fairly young. Whether that motorist had previous unpleasant contacts with the police, we have no way of knowing. But I got to say, if an officer pulled a gun on perhaps a much older person, a senior citizen, person might have had heart pounding and even fainted or had an attack. I, you know, that would be a very stressful situation. Of course, presumably that very same motorist would not be yelling at the officer in the first place.
Correct. And I want to make a point. I mean, I have sued the state police multiple times. I've gone to trial against the state police, you know, individual officers. So I have taken the plaintiff's side when it's actionable. I would not take this case. You know, you have video, and whenever you have video, you know, people become interested. But whenever you have a piece of video and not the whole entire thing, it's, you know, makes it more difficult. You don't know what really happened here. And that's, you know, you need to view this in the eyes of a clip and not the full story.
Now, when you go to a blog, a political blog in Delaware that tends to be very suspicious of the police, in part because so many former law enforcement are in the state general assembly, the general cynical attitude is, no trooper is ever going to get hit for anything. They're all protected in this state.
Well, in my experience, perhaps there's some truth to that. I don't believe this is one of those cases. You know, it's a difficult job being a police officer. And I think in my experience, most of the time, it's been a mistake. I don't think there's anything cynical anything diabolical going on here where there's a conspiracy. I think sometimes officers make mistakes, and, you know, somebody needs to hold them accountable. And they're held accountable, you know, with various means, one of them being a civil lawsuit, which I've filed quite a few times against multiple police agencies in the state.
Is it your judgment that any police agency schools its officers better on this kind of stuff, or is it universal? Things can go bad.
Well, in my experience, I think the state police does a pretty good job of training their officers. It varies between departments in this state. And the training is pretty universal. You know, it comes from the United States Constitution. Supreme Court decisions are handed out, and then the officers are trained on those countrywide. So it's pretty much standard rules that govern officers throughout the country.
And a speculative behavioral question. Do you think that a younger motorist who knows he or she is running video feels more emboldened to challenge the officer during a stop, knowing the video is going.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they do have a First Amendment right to video an officer. You know, that's been determined. You know, the courts of law have said you can film an officer. So they're allowed to do that, but it doesn't give them any special rights to disobey an order,
right?
To act volatile. I mean, they have the same rules that everybody else does, whether there's video or not.
Of course, I wonder, during a situation, does the officer notice the lens? Is the officer aware that he or she is being videoed?
I mean, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But I don't, once again, not the model of perfection, but not an actionable conduct on the part of the officer.
All right, Attorney at Law Stephen Norman, thank you for your time and evaluation.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
You're welcome.
It, sir.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, he's with the Norman Law Firm downstate. Joined us live from Bethany Beach on the video that has gone viral of a Delaware State Trooper drawing a gun on a motorist during a traffic stop near Slaughter Neck recently.